Well, we're going to continue on our series, unwrapping our Christmas gifts. And we've looked at, as we said, we've looked at the gift of hope and love and joy. And now we've looked at the gift of peace. Last week, how many of you remember what made the good news good? Do you remember what it was? What made that good news so good? One was it replaces fear with joy, right? That's what happened on that for the shepherds, right? We saw them on the hillside. The angel showed up and they were greatly afraid. But the announcement was about great joy that was coming their way that would replace their fear. What was the second thing that made the good news so good? Nothing can stop this good news. Nothing. People have tried. They tried on the first Christmas. It was already in motion, wasn't it? But you can't stop it. And that's why you're sitting here today, because that good news could not be stopped. Yesterday, you'll see pictures next week. We were up in Valley Center preparing food. Have you seen the little boxes around town where people can get food, little red boxes? And so we put food in them yesterday with Megan's help, and we put tracks around our food and slipped it in there. So that's some good food with good news attached, right? It can't be stopped. It's going out in places you can't even measure. What was the third thing that made the good news so good? It's for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all those who are coming. This good news for all people. That's what the angels said to the shepherds. And the fourth thing that made the good news so good was that the gift of good news was what? It was just what we needed, right? It was the perfect gift. It's exactly what we needed. And so I hope you appreciate that good news today. We're going to continue on. We're going to pick up with those shepherds right where we left them last week. We left them there with that angel. There was one angel. One angel came and made a great announcement. Well, things are about to kick up a notch today, because that one angel is going to be replaced by a host of angels. Now, you thought one angel was scary? Can you imagine if you were those shepherds? We go from one angel to a number of angels. You can't. In fact, they referred to it as an army of angels. And they began to declare these words, and they're on the screen, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill, peace and goodwill towards men. How many of you know that scripture? How many of you knew that before you ever became a Christian? Well, you should, because Hallmark prints it on almost every Christmas card, don't they? Thousands of cards have been printed. Even non-believers get that card, and everybody knows that phrase. It's a wonderful phrase at Christmas, those angelic words, and we hope for it, don't we? Christmas carols, you've seen Christmas carols that declare it, right? Well, that talk about this good news and this glory to God the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But I wonder this morning, what did those angels really mean? Well, let's first look at the word itself. This word peace in the Greek, what does it mean? If you take your Strong's Concordance or your reference, you'll find this word to be very expressive. It means to join. And you have an insert, you can fill in the blanks. I even have it on the back there. You can fill in the blanks. It means to join. It means to rest. It means to set at one again. It's kind of where we get our word, where we think about reconciliation, right? To bring things into agreement. This is the peace that the angels were announcing. This is what that word meant. That's what the shepherds heard too. And I don't know about you, but when I think of last week, the perfect gift, boy, I think this is a gift we need. We need the gift of peace with all that's going on. Would you agree with that? But I wonder also, as I look around the world, I wonder, did the angels really get it right? Did the angels misspeak? Did they miss the mark? Because as we look around the world today, would you have to agree with me that I don't see a lot of peace on earth and goodwill towards men? In fact, recorded history, since we've been keeping records over thousands of years, there's only been less than 300 years of peace on the planet. That doesn't quite line up with the angel's words, does it? What about our own country? Well, the FBI, in their latest report called the Crime Clock, this is what they reported. Most recent stats from the FBI show that annually a violent crime occurs in our country every 24.6 seconds. There's one robbery every 1.7 minutes. There's one rape every 3.9 minutes. And there's a murder in our country every 30 minutes. So while we're in church today, three people will die. Did the angels get it wrong? I don't know about you, but when I listen to the words of the angels, I think, man, that's exactly what we need. If we ever needed it, we need it now. But Jesus said some things about this peace that maybe are leaving a little uncomfortable for us. In fact, I wonder, maybe he didn't hear the angel's song. He is the Prince of Peace, right? And he declares here in Luke, it says 12, but I'm sorry, I got those numbers inverted. It's Luke 21. I apologize, so make that correction in your notes. Luke 21, verses 9 through 10, Jesus says, "When you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately." And then he added, "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." In verse 11, he goes on, "There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven." Somebody forgot to tell Jesus about what the angels said. In fact, we were kidding a while ago in Wichita. Some of you know we had, what, 6 or 7 earthquakes yesterday. If you lived on the east side of town, it kind of rings true with this scripture, doesn't it? In fact, at elders' meeting, Marshall was sharing with us about end time things, and he gave us this report from the volcanodiscovery.com. In 2020, I don't know if you realize this, but there were 8 earthquakes over 7.0. in magnitude. There were 107 between 6.0 and 7.0. There were over 1,600 between 5.0 and 6.0 magnitude, and there were 1,209 between 4.0 and 5.0, 36,000 between 3.0 and 4.0, 80,000 between 2.0 and 3.0. We'll probably have to adjust that number because of yesterday, but 202,000 between 2.0 or less. Did the angels get it wrong? Because I thought they said that things were going to get better on the earth and that peace was coming and goodwill towards man. Well, Jesus went on. It gets a little more disturbing. He said this in Luke 12, verses 51 through 53. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth?" Yeah, it's what the angel said. "I tell you, not at all, but rather division." In fact, in Matthew, talking about these same words, he says, "a sword." I haven't seen that on a Christmas card, have you? They left that part off. He goes on to describe what it's going to look like. "From now on five in one house will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That probably sounds like some of your Christmas gatherings, doesn't it? When family gets together, say, "Well, I've experienced that." Well, Jesus is talking about, hey, he's preparing his disciples for the future, and he's telling them, look, there's this peace doesn't mean you'll be free from conflict. In fact, you're going to stand for things that other people will be against. And you're probably going to stand against some things that other people will be for. Have you already experienced that? Sometimes just taking the name of Jesus and just following him as a follower of Jesus, that alone will put you in conflict with others. So I think you'd agree, taking the words of the angels and the words of the Prince of Peace, you'd have to agree, wouldn't you? This peace is not international peace. It's not political peace. Have you figured that one out yet? It's not the absence of wars or conflicts, and it's no guarantee that you won't have conflict in your life. That's not what the angels are saying, is it? In fact, let's take another look at it, can we? Let's look at those angels' words again, but through several translations. First, the New King James is what we is what you'll see on Christmas cards. It's what we read earlier, but I want you to take a close look at it. What did the angels actually say? They said, glory to God in the highest. Now, that's a great place to start, right? Everything starts with God's glory. In fact, God, that's how it all, that's how it's initiated, isn't it? To God be the glory. It's to God's glory in the highest in heaven. Now it's come to earth. And now on earth, there'll be peace and goodwill towards men. I want you to notice something about that scripture. It doesn't say among men. It says towards men. There's an invitation the angels are saying is going to be given to man. It's going to be among all men. Well, let's look at the NIV. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now, that's probably a more accurate translation. This peace will be offered to everyone, but not everyone will receive it. This peace is for those on whom God's favor rests. What is grace? Grace is, you know the definition, is God's what? Unmerited favor. Of course, my favorite translation, the New Living Translation, says it this way, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Who is God pleased with? Well, Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. So he's talking about those whom he has called, right? Those on whom his favor rests. This invitation is given towards men. It's for all mankind. We saw that last week, right? And this peace is available. The angels didn't misspeak, but the words of Jesus and the words of the angel are both true. And two opposites can be true at the same time if you understand what's really being said. So this peace that the angels are singing about, this is part of the good news. It's the perfect gift for those who choose to embrace it. Now, I want you to take your insert out. You've already filled in the definition, but you'll see on your insert, if you're at home, you can take a piece of paper and write this down. We're going to make it real easy for you. We're going to look at three positions of kingdom peace this morning. Three positions that God wants you to enjoy about this special gift. And with our understanding now, we'll be able to embrace it maybe in a new way. All right, this is the heart of the good news. Here's the first, all right? First is peace with God. Peace with God. Romans 5:1, you knew we'd go there, right? Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, who's he talking to? He's talking to believers who've been made right by faith. Those who've come to Christ, he said, those who have come to this faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So this is where it all begins. In fact, if you don't get this position right, the other two really won't matter. This is where it all begins. You remember when it began for you? I remember a time when I didn't have peace with God. And I remember when God revealed himself to me and I entered into that peace and I entered into that justification by faith where God came and I realized that Jesus came to earth for a purpose, and that was to save sinners, of which I am one, and that he came and lived and died on a cross and rose again for one purpose, for the joy that was set before him, and that's you and I. And out of that sacrifice came great peace. That's the peace the angels are talking about. In fact, this Christmas carol, will you sing it this year, or have you already sang it? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Is that a great carol? It is. And boy, does it have it theologically correct. Listen to the first stanza of this particular carol. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's really the good news. I remember sitting in a mall one time. You remember when I wasn't real hip on Christmas, you know, I just thought it was just a bunch of commercialism, and if anything, we'd be better to back off from it. And I remember this Christmas carol over the PA system. And I felt the Lord whisper into my heart, Joe, why are you so disturbed about Christmas? I'm not. Listen to what's playing on the PA system at the mall. They're declaring the good news. Wow. This is what the angels were talking about, isn't it? The Apostle Paul also declared in 2 Corinthians 5:19, "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Do you see that? This is peace with God. We're no longer enemies, but God has built that bridge for us through Christ. That's what Christmas is all about, wasn't it? To reconcile man with God. How many of you reconcile your checking account every month? Do you do that when you... Two of you? Yeah. Oh, there's a few more. Yeah. How many of you reconcile it right to the penny? Do you do that or do you round it off? My wife's glad if we're within $5. I'll stay up all night to find a penny. I want it to be right. And what was that definition we had of peace? Do you remember what it said? It said that we are to set at one again. That's the same as bringing into agreement, see? And this reconciliation, that's what God came to earth to declare peace. I remember my experience not years ago in Russia, in Moscow, before communism ever fell. And we were on a Bot Street, which is a very busy street in Moscow. And I went and stood in the middle of that market and I waved a white flag. And through my interpreter, I said, "Did you ever think you'd see an American in Moscow waving a white flag?" That grew a crowd, let me tell you. They wanted to hear what we had to say. And I declared to them that day that God was waving a white flag. That he is not your enemy. He doesn't want to be at war with you. In fact, he's went out of his way to reconcile us, to bring us to a place of peace. God doesn't want us to have a relationship as enemies anymore. In fact, we were talking about this at staff this week at our dinner. I mean, does this just blow your mind just a little bit in John 15 where Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." I'm going to be sharing more with you the first Sunday of January about that because God's really spoken some things in my heart. I thought this idea, I mean, I'm just blown away. God, you're my friend. And if you're my friend, then I can be your friend. And what does that look like? That's what the angels were talking about. No longer are we going to be butting heads, but we're coming into this place of peace and reconciliation. God's bringing us to that place. Well, what's the second position? If you've got peace with God, then I invite you to experience and position yourself for peace from God. Say, what does that mean? Sounds like double talk. Not really. If you have peace with God, that's the peace that's come to you outside of yourself. Now, when you receive that, God then puts peace in you. So now you have peace from God. So we have peace with God, now peace from God. Romans 1:7, isn't this a great scripture? The Apostle Paul says, "I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." Grace and peace. Have you ever noticed in scripture, those two words always go together. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Why is that? Well, grace is God's unmerited favor. And when you got that, you got peace. If you don't have peace in your life right now because of all the things that are going on, I challenge you to consider something. Because the scriptures declare that God gives grace to the humble, but he stiff-arms the proud is what it really means in the original text. He stiff-arms the proud. It's possible if you don't have peace in your life right now, and I'm not talking about your circumstances, I'm talking about peace from God. I'm talking that peace that's in you that God's put. If you're not being able to access that, I would look first at grace and have you humbled yourself before the Lord. Because when you really understand what God has done, it takes you to a place of humility. God, I bow my knee to you. And that's when grace comes and that's when peace comes. Grace and peace hold hands together. What about John 14? John 14, verse 27. "I am leaving you with a gift," Jesus said, "peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift." It says word, but really it's supposed to be world. "This is a gift the world cannot give you." The world can give it to you, but not the world, right? So don't be troubled or afraid. Now we're talking about, I'm not just at peace with God, but I have peace from God. And I'm, even though the world is crazy right now, I have peace. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be troubled. Jesus said you don't need to be if you got this peace. If you got this real peace that comes from me, it started with me reconciling us together, and now I'm going to fill you with peace, and you're not going to need to be afraid. You're not going to need to be troubled, and you're going to stand out in the crowd. People are going to want to know, why aren't you all upset? Ooh, it's a scary time. It'll always be a scary time. But peace is what the angels declared. It was an invitation. Glory to God in the highest, and peace has come on earth. Peace is a person. It's Jesus himself, and he's come, and he's reconciled us. Well, I'm no longer an enemy. God loved me while I was yet his enemy, but I'm not his enemy anymore. Now I'm his friend, and he's my friend. This is the peace that comes to us, and now it's a peace within us. Do you see it? Here's my favorite scripture, Philippians 4:7. Then you will experience. What do you mean? What comes before then? We know it, right? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Then you will experience God's peace. This peace will exceed anything you can understand. See, that's our problem, isn't it? We keep trying to understand everything's happening around us, and we let it steal our peace. But this peace has nothing to do with your understanding. This peace is from Jesus himself, and it dwells inside of you. And this peace, he says, will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Read that again. What's peace going to do? It's going to guard. Now, when I see the word guard, that means conflict to me. That means, why do I need a guard? Because there's forces that are coming against me that want, they want my mind, they want my heart. They don't want me to have that peace. But God is bringing peace to guard our hearts, how we feel, and our minds, the way we think. I was remembering this morning when we were in Africa, and we were in this place, and we had a guard. Everywhere we went, we had a guard. One of these guards, I got a picture of him, he had a baseball bat. I felt good about that. Here's this little guy with a baseball bat. And I could sleep better at night knowing there's a guy outside with a baseball bat. And he's committed to protect me. We were in another place. A guy had a sword and a spear. And he was guarding us at night. And we had a lot more peace. Because we knew that guard. Why do you need a guard? Because there are forces at work. And this peace is going to guard your heart. That means you're going to need somebody to do that. This peace will guard it. And some of you have lost your guard. And that's why you're so troubled during these times. God wants you not to just be at peace with him, but he wants you to receive peace into your heart. Amen? So now we see that this peace, it came to us, it's in us, but now the third position, this is the one I hope you'll be able to enjoy. It's peace with others. Peace with others. See, if you position yourself properly, in this order, this will be a natural outflow of this peace. Anybody here struggle with this? We all do, don't we? But I'll tell you how you're going to be at peace with other people is by being at peace with God first. That's why a lot of people don't have peace with others, because they're not at peace with God. And then to have that peace from God, and then to be able to let it overflow out of your life naturally. Romans 12:18 in the NIV says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Aren't you glad that first part's in that verse? Aren't you glad he didn't just say live at peace with everyone? But he qualifies it. This is reality. If it's possible, sometimes it won't be. As much as it depends on you, if you're not going to be at peace with someone, just make sure the reason isn't because you didn't do your part. Remember three parts. What are they? God's part, my part, and other people's part. Be careful. God's going to do his part. Other people, that's up in the air, okay? I don't know, but I got to do my part. And so he's saying, as much as it depends on you, do your part to live at peace with all men. God will do his part. Other people will see, but just make sure you've done your part. And you say, that's kind of hard. Well, not if you understand what God has done for you You're at peace with God. The God of the universe, who you were at war with, has now made peace with you. He has reconciled himself to us and us to him. This is incredible. He's filled my heart with peace. Well, why can't I have peace with other people? It should be, it's in me. It's come to me. It's in me. And now it's going to flow through me. How about James 3:17? But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also what? Peace loving. How many of you love peace? Do you know anybody that loves conflict? I know a few people like that. They just seem to live for it, you know. God wants you to be a lover of peace. Amen? Have you ever heard anybody say, I just got too much peace in my life? I need a little less peace. No, of course not. But it's the peace-loving people that are significant here. He just kind of describes what it looks like. Would this be important in a time like this when people are telling you what to do and kind of pushing your button? Yeah, you got your button pushed yet? Maybe several times a day? He says, be peace-loving. Gentle at all times. Willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. Keep reading verse 18. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Here's what I want you to envision for yourself. I pray for a church full of people that are walking around with bags of peace seeds. You're a farmer. God's called you. What kind of seeds are you sowing? Do you sow seeds of peace? Or do you sow seeds of conflict? See, when you sow seeds of peace, you can even love your enemies. I mean, those are some crazy words, aren't they? Jesus said, love your enemies, that's okay. And then he went too far. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Oh, let's don't get extreme, Jesus. Yeah, heap coals of fire on their head. What? What's that mean? It means if their fire goes out, we're going to give them some of our coals. And they're going to carry it on their head in the desert so they'll be warm at night. That's what peacemakers do. And they sow seeds of peace. Are you the kind of person when you walk into a room, people feel peace? Or do people tense up when you walk in the room? I used to be a person that people tensed when I walk into the room because, by God, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm going to convince you, and conflict instant. I'm glad I'm not that anymore because now I've come to understand the God of the universe has reconciled me to him. It's incredible, and that's what makes this next verse even more incredible. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Who's going to reconcile people to? The peacemakers are, right? During this season, sometimes it's difficult. I know a lot of conflicts come to the surface in families, but I believe as peacemakers, we can walk into the room and make a difference. Just our presence. I think of Ephesians, where it says, cast off all malice and evil speaking and anger and bitterness. You know that scripture I'm talking about? Then what's the next verse that follows? You know, but be kind and considerate and loving and forgive one another as what? As Christ has forgiven you. You know what your problem being a peacemaker is? You lost your wow of what the Prince of Peace has done for you. Yeah. I believe that the presence of peace can be so real in your life, it's almost automatic. I was sharing in first service our good friend Dave Cundiff. I remember a day when I had done something that I knew was offensive and it was wrong. I was wrong. And so I thought, I have to apologize. And so I went to him and I said, Brother Dave, listen, I just want to apologize to you for this event. And I'll never forget his words to me. He said, old pastor, I forgave you when you did it. Then I thought to myself, well, I didn't even have to come and do this. And it was kind of embarrassing, you know. I could have just went, no. God wanted me to hear that because, Joe, I'm going to get you to a place where you're just going to be so good at forgiving because you're going to understand how much you've been forgiven. Are you the kind of person that you like to receive mercy but you don't like to give it? You can just wink at me. You know that that whole idea of being able to treat other people the way we want to be treated. I wonder, would you want God to forgive you the way you forgive others? No. See, this is what the angels were declaring that day. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Peace is being offered. It's being available to all men. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. It's possible. Not everyone will receive it, but it is possible. It is possible. And God's going to use us to be bridge builders. Go down to verse 20. I think I got to get down here. Sorry. Technology. There we go. He said, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. See, that's the language of a peacemaker. And so this morning, we're going to come to the table. And we need to reflect on this reality. I mean, think about this. This will help you. In Colossians, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Are you ready for this? You're going to read it? You're going to believe it before you read it? This is one of those, really? You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Do you see yourself that way? This is what the angels were trying to tell you. I don't know if the shepherds understood it, but this peace is coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. And we're going to be at peace with God. We're no longer going to be at war with him. And then he's going to give us this peace, his peace within us. So it's going to come to us. It's going to be in us. And now it's going to flow through us. And it's because we stand in this place. And God has put us in perfect peace. He said that those who have their mind stayed on him will be in perfect peace. I believe it is this spirit that we're coming in this morning. So the table that we're going to come to and share this morning, it's a table of peace. It's a table of reconciliation. And I want to encourage you today, and as you think about these three areas, peace with God, peace from God, peace with others, I want you to circle one of those like we always do. Pick out one. Which one is difficult for you? Now, peace with God's got to be first. If you're still working for your salvation, you're not at peace with God. If you're still trying to earn your way and work your way, if you think that your performance is going to give you peace with God, then you're not in the right place. God's saying, it's my performance, not yours. I just want you to receive it. That's what the angels are saying. Just receive it. Be at peace with me. Receive my gift, and then allow me to fill you with my peace. Maybe you say, okay, I got the salvation thing down pat. I'm not struggling with that anymore. You know, am I in? Am I out? And no, that's done. Well, what about how you're living? Are you experiencing God's peace in your daily life? Maybe that's the one you need to circle. Or maybe it's the third one. And oftentimes it is for us, isn't it? Where the shoe leather comes in, that because God's peace has come to me and because it's flowing through me, now I want it to affect the other people around me. I want to be known as a person of peace. Amen? I don't know what God's speaking to you today, but I pray that as you come to the table that you can allow God to speak to your heart and draw you to one of these positions. Or maybe all of them, but maybe one in particular God's going to have you meditate on this week, especially at Christmas, and be able to position yourself in a way, because God wants you to enjoy these three positions. They're not a burden. They're a blessing. They're a blessing. Father, as we come to the table this morning, we reflect on the peace that is represented here, the peace that we have with you, the peace that's come from you, and the peace that will overflow out of our lives to others. Lord, as we come to this table, I pray you will magnify this truth to us. Lord, we come in thanksgiving and gratefulness. We're blown away. We are amazed by the peace you brought into our lives. And I pray you'll help us now, help us to overflow in this peace in the relationships around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle and make your way to the side table, take the cup and bread, and then return to your seat again, and we'll share it together, okay? God bless you as you come. Thank you, Father, that Christmas morning was the beginning. Things were set in motion that would take that baby to a cross. And that's what we celebrate today. It's not so much the birth we remember, it's the death, the burial, the resurrection. For without the resurrection, we are dead in our sins. But Lord, we're grateful because Jesus came and he walked among us. so that we would know you. For Jesus said, if we'd seen him, we've seen the Father. And so now we know so much about you because of this life. The life that came and died and shed his own blood so that we could be in a place of peace today. And we celebrate that peace. We thank you for the peace we have with you and the peace we've received from you, and now the peace that will flow through us to others. So we receive this bread and we remember your brokenness and sacrifice, and we receive this cup and thank you that we can stand in a place today blameless and holy because of your sacrifice. This is amazing, utterly amazing, the greatest gift of all. Thank you in Jesus' name. We declare again as we leave the words of the angels. Would you say it with me? It's on the screen, right? Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. And you might write in there, he's talking about me. And that's the spirit we're going to embrace Christmas in this year. And then we're going to begin our journey through a year. I don't know what's coming for us. I'd like to predict it, but I don't. I've asked God, but he hadn't told me. But I believe we're going with peace. Whatever happens, we're going to have his peace, right? So I want you to embrace it. Let it guard your hearts and minds. If you need prayer this morning, I have my mask. I'll wear it. I'd love to pray with you if you have a need. If you're here today and you need peace with God, I'd be honored to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you say, I've got the peace with God, but I need that peace from God in me, and it's just not happening, I'm not experiencing it like I should, I'd like to pray with you. If you're here today and you've experienced all those, but you're wanting to be that ambassador, you're wanting to be that person that reconciles others, that calls people back to God, you would like that to be part of your life in greater capacity, I'd like to pray with you today. Don't leave without it. If you need healing in your body, I'd love to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you. Amen? All right? So you take advantage. Just like the angel said, here it is. I'm saying to you today, here it is. Your part is to take it and receive it. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I pray the blessing of peace upon their life. Lord, I pray those who have not entered into that reconciliation with you, that this would be the season for them, and they'll find that perfect peace in you, and it'll change their lives. It'll change how they relate to the conflict around them, and it will change their relationships with others. Father, I pray for an overflowing kingdom peace in our lives. Would you help us walk in this today? Use it to draw others to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.